Yeah, recording. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
What's up, people of the page? As in the YouTube page and the social
Yeah.
media page and all the other pages and the comic
And
pages.
all those who are listening to us on Spotify and Apple and all that fun stuff.
Google, all the things. All the things, all of it.
Trying our best, yeah.
Oh, so listen. So yesterday, going through a bunch of boxes of a project that I need to finish, hopefully next week. Probably not going to be next week, but I'll probably try to finish it next week. And yeah, I'm going through stuff, and I'm like, oh, whatever. Pricey stuff for the wall, put it out on at the mills because I was there. Then I run across this in the cheapy section of this thing. So for a dollar,
The infamous
the one
Batman
punch, the bat
one,
punch.
the bat punch episode.
Yep. Where he just
Yeah.
punches Guy Gardner and he just sucker punches him and he falls down. He's like, little bitch. It's one of my favorite things ever in Green Lantern history. So,
My wife was in Denver Fan Expo this past weekend. She brought me home
hey, look at that.
Batman. And it is the, what is it, the Fan Expo exclusive by our notorious AI user, Mentina.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was. So.
Yep. It's a shame because
Well,
it's all honesty, if he just does this like on his own without AI help, I'm like, he's one hell of an artist, but
yeah.
we don't know if it's
Oh,
real or not real.
right. That's what I'm saying. Like, come
Yeah.
on, man. Like, level up. Level up. Do your shit. So, other than that, so. In 2 weeks, nope, sorry, not in 2 weeks, in ten, 9 days on the 20th of July, we're gonna open up the warehouse for 50 cents a piece to probably blow some room out so we could put some new stuff out for the August sale. So come on up, buy some stuff. Long box for 150 bucks plus tax. That's a lot of books for 150 bucks. A lot. So come on up and check it out. It'll be a good time. And yeah. And then other than that, like just so you guys know, if you know anybody that's looking for a job, we're hiring in Cranberry. We're looking for part-time help in Cranberry, couple days a week. Gotta be able to lift a whole long box, so that's why we put 60 bucks on or 60 pounds on there. You can't you don't have to move a long box every day, but you may have to move some more than once.
Once in a while,
Yeah.
yes.
And you gotta be at least 18. This is really it. Like, that's really it. Like, I'm not gonna judge anything else. It's just a matter of, if you have a personality, it helps.
Yes.
But that store is not very trafficked, so it is kind of boring and slow. So you do have to kind of keep yourself occupied with projects. And we have many of the projects to do. So come on up and hang out. So the big news is that this week is that Penguin bought Boom from Ross Ritchie, which blew my mind considering like Penguin was like or Boom is one of the big holdouts at Diamond and they're still there and they're still gonna have that contract. I would assume until whatever that contract ends up running out and then they'll probably switch to Penguin. Or they'll do both, like Marvel is, because Marvel actually technically owned part of Boom, I believe, because they sold it to Fox. They sold a part to Fox at some point, and I believe that came as part of the acquisition. So this is
Okay.
just more of it going to
Well,
the
my question is
people.
how do you do that? Is you buy something, you buy one company, but that company is dealing with your one of your competitors. How does that work? Like, it's got to be a there's got to be a giant legal loophole that they can get out of and be like, well, we own this now and we're a publishing company and we're your main competitor, so we don't have to do business with you anymore,
I
you
don't think,
know?
well, yeah, but Boom is, or Penguin has been had has always had a good relationship with Diamond anyway. Like,
Okay.
just because they're willing to pay Marvel more money than Diamond is to distribute their books, doesn't mean that, like, that they're, angry about it. Like, they still fulfill through Penguin.
True,
So.
true. I'm just thinking of competition, you know. You never want to give your competition, you know, leg up there, and that seems like that's a kind of a leg up on you, you
I
know.
don't think so.
In
I
my
mean,
head, it's
I don't think so. Mostly because, like I said, if Disney owns Marvel and they own part of Boom anyway, and Marvel distributes both through Penguin and they distribute primarily through Penguin now, but they still fulfill through Diamond as well, then it makes sense that that would stay there till that contract is over. And then whenever that contract's over, maybe then they'll do both, I imagine.
okay.
But nothing is changing with their discount. Nothing is changing with anything else, as far as I can tell from what I read
Okay.
online. But yeah, I saw Ross Ritchie post his post yesterday that literally just says, it just said, "I sold Boom." I was like, what the hell? No way.
Well,
So,
that's a lot of IPs that belong to Penguin now, yeah?
right.
Or, yeah. You're
Well,
talking about.
I think Disney and Penguin have a good relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, 'cause they distributed all their stuff, like the Simon and Schuster stuff, and everything else that Penguin carries, 'cause they carry so much stuff. But they were carrying Disney stuff for a long time before Marvel.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they just kept doing both. But I will probably say that once that happens, like once that switches over, there's really not a whole lot left at just Diamond.
Yeah.
And we will see how it goes. But and I know there's guys that are still diehards and they still get their stuff from Diamond,
Yeah.
but it's not a great sign, I
I was
guess.
gonna say it sounds like the bell tolls for thee for that company is what that sounds like to me. Like unless they change their dynamic, they change things up, but if they were going to do that, then they'd still have
Yeah.
like Marvel and DC. Like it seems like they kind of burn their bridges a little bit, and this doesn't help.
Well,
So
I, you know, but also you kind of have to look at it as like, what's got more longevity, Diamond or Disney? Right. Or Penguin, I guess. If Penguin's backed by Disney.
yeah. It's good for Richie, you know. I'm sure he got paid a nice hefty sum for that, you
And
know.
he's no longer attached to it at all. He said he's gonna take like a 6 weeks vacation. I was like,
Wow.
man, that's awesome. Like, just take vacation until your kids have to go back to school. Do it.
Yeah.
So,
Well, that is my question is, do
see,
you
Marvin
think
even
this is good?
agrees with us. He's in the chat. He even agrees. So.
Well, my question is, does that really affect like what's going on at Boom now? Like, do you think they'll
No.
have more freedom, less freedom to do what they want?
As far as I understand, they pretty much are going to be able to do everything the same way.
Okay. Because you
I
usually
just.
when you change from one company to the next, things start changing. And I think as Boom is an up and coming, it is one of the hottest independent books. Like they're overtaking Image in certain aspects
I think
as
they're definitely on the heels of Image for sure.
yeah, because they're definitely spanking Dark Horse, spanking all like Oni, you know, all those other guys. nowhere near where Boom's at right now. You could say Boom is now what? You want to say maybe behind, just behind Image? I'd almost say they're tied with Image. So you're looking at
Oh
Marvel,
no.
DC, Image.
I don't think they're t like I think they're just behind them. I think a lot of the reasons that we loved Image back in the day are the reasons why people love Boom now. But I don't think that there's enough people that go into that or love that. Or actually, I would say like I think the people that loved Image and Dark Horse are the guys that like Boom. Mostly the Dark Horse guys, and more than the Image guys, because I think that like what Dark Horse did when they started and how they started when they had all those random properties that they were using that they were making it work, like Boom's doing that, but doing it better, in my opinion.
Like
So,
their Buffy stuff is infinitely better than the Dark Horse stuff.
yeah, I
As
mean,
far, you know.
their Power Rangers stuff is great. Their Firefly stuff, Amory Wars, like, they have
I
a
was gonna
bunch of
say,
stuff like,
Something's Killing the Children is obviously the signature Boom comic. Currently, you got Berserker because Keanu's coming back and he's going to write more. That'll bump things up a little bit too, because that's I know a lot of hardcore Berserker fans. It's there's a lot of titles that I can name on Boom right now than I can with Image, and that says something. I'm not saying the Image is bad. I'm not saying that at all, but it's harder for me to recognize Image today than I did 10 years ago, 20 years
I mean,
ago.
Image was really like the gritty, streety, gothy comic company back in the 90s. Like they were really like the street level.
Yeah, but
More
even
vibe.
10 years ago, you had Invincible, you had Walking Dead was in its prime. All that has kind of gone by the wayside at this point. So now Image kind of has to, well, what's in the next in big Image book that's going to come out? That's not Spawn. Because oh, Spawn's always going to be there. I don't think Spawn's ever going to go away as long as Todd is involved. Now if he goes away or if he retires, we may see no more Spawn stuff. Or maybe less Spawn stuff. But until Todd goes away, it's going to be Spawn and everything else. So, and
Savage Dragon still a thing.
yeah,
So.
but I don't see that with Boom. Boom, I can name all these titles and they're all different. They're all a little up and comers and
Yeah. I mean, they did some
everything
really
and
good stuff
anything.
that already ended too. Like, Once in Future was awesome. That
Yes.
was a Boom title.
Yeah, I love that. I have all of them in my
Me
collection.
too.
I'm not going to get rid of them anytime soon. Like
I
even if
really
I
love that
get the
book.
trade or whatever, I'm still going to keep the books I
Yeah,
got. So.
absolutely. I think it's good that I think it's cool that they're keeping their offices the same. Like everything's kind of staying the same. I don't really see it changing. A lot of people said, when Disney bought Marvel that it changed a lot, and I didn't really actually see that. I just saw that they were continuing the trend that they were already doing. And people can say what they want about, Disney buying
Everything's woke.
Star Wars, they bought Marvel, they bought Fox,
They ruin
like,
everything. Ruin
right?
everything.
No.
Yes. I'm
Right.
like, look. It
Maybe you're
again.
ruining it by whining about it.
Yeah.
Maybe,
Yeah.
but
Maybe you're not the target audience. And maybe you being the whiner means you're old and you don't understand.
maybe things change. Maybe things change just, keep it fresh. Not because, they just want to shit on the history. Like, it's not like they're gonna do intentionally damaging choices, so. Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation.
Hey, come on. Turn that shit off. Sorry, that was my phone. I
That
forgot
was
that was on.
talking about other shit to ruin things.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right, let's talk about some comics, then we'll talk about Acolyte a little bit at the end.
Okay.
Damn it. Oh, there it is. Sorry, still getting used to this new format for this new Zoom. All right, my first book is Kill All Immortals 1. This book I thought was going to be really good. And I will tell you, the art by Fico Asio is fucking amazing. Like, the art in this book is so good. So good. But the story is really, really like you gotta like read it four times to understand where it's going. It's very wordy. I was hoping for a little more blood and gore. But basically, it starts out with some guys getting killed. Then you find out that this girl like is saying that her family like is really rich and stuff, so her boyfriend wants to go and meet her family, and her boyfriend's a reporter, and her family doesn't like reporters because you'll find out that her dad is Eric the Red, who's the famous Viking, and they're all actual mortals and they're trying to kill each other. So that's pretty much the plot.
So it's a Highlander situation.
It's a Highlander mixed with oh man, what was that book? And they did a movie with it too.
Old Guard.
Old Guard. Yeah, it really has like an Old Guard vibe to it. And I like that was kind of okay with me. Like I was like, all right, cool, Old Guard, I'm okay. But it just wasn't, it didn't quite hit where, like, the pacing was weird for me. So I'm gonna give this a Viking breakfast. I'm gonna give it a raw salmon, and two hard-boiled eggs. And vodka. That's how fucked up this breakfast is. So I don't know if that's a good or bad review for it, but it was okay. Like it was the weakest of my three that I read this week. I wanted to check it out. I should read X-Men, but whatever. Isn't that yours? Fourth
Nope, it
anniversary.
is
Oh,
not.
fuck.
It's the 40th anniversary one shot was the one I
Well,
read, and
all right, hold on.
well, it's okay because the review for this, there are so many stories. There are 12 stories in this book. This was a big, thick boy book. And I have to say, it's stories of every version of Ninja Turtles, from Mirage, IDW, Urban Legends, TMNT Adventures, the Saturday Morning Adventures. There's a story from the 2003 TV series in this, the 2012 series, and the Rise of Ninja Turtles. This thing is stacked chock full of Ninja Turtle goodness. And they also include pinups by every major Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle artist. So I'm not really going to tell any of the stories because you're just going to have to get this book and read it. 12 stories is way too many, but the art was nostalgic. A lot of the art was fun
We'll just not have a
because,
cover up because I can't find it.
okay. But it was fun. It's definitely one of those, you have to have it if you're a turtle collector because it has a little bit of everything in it. So, I'm going to give this.
I'll find it by the time you're done, maybe.
I'm going to give this. You're going to get a pizza breakfast, but it is a slice of each different kind of pizza you can imagine. We got a slice of meat lovers, you got a slice of supreme, a slice of pepperoni, slice of just cheese. It has everything. And I'm gonna make this cold pizza just to make it true breakfast, because nobody eats warm pizza for breakfast. It was fun. I highly recommend it if you're a Turtles fan. Pick yourself up a copy. And I think it's reasonably priced too. For what you're getting, I think it's $6 or something. It's like $5.99 or something, $6.99, something like that. So it's definitely fun.
Is this the,
So
hold on. What? Oh, that's the B cover by Simon Bisley.
yeah, but there are tons of
Oh, found it. Found it. Hold
variant
on.
covers too. So, you know, again, if you're a turtle person, like any fan of whatever, maybe you'll find a new version of Turtles that you want to read. This might be the book to kind of get you into that version of Turtles.
There
Because, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I did send you the message. Like, I just said 40th anniversary. So, you know, but it's pretty cool. Like, this is what a one shot should be, or an anniversary should be, is what they're doing, giving you a little bit of every kind of turtle story from the beginning to currently what's going on. So.
No, we can get back to it. Did you see what you rated it? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, I just said it's going to be pizza, but it's going to be cold pizza, but it's going to be a slice of every kind of pizza you can imagine.
No. Even the kind that's made out of like gummy bears. You ever
Sure,
have
why
like
not?
gummy pizza? Gummy pizza's
Why
awesome.
not?
It's awesome. All right. My next book. Surprise! Green Lantern 13. So this book, I will tell you what, I hate the cover. I do. I hate the cover. I think it looks terrible. But the book on the inside is amazing.
Who did the cover, if I may ask?
You know what? Hold on,
It
let me
kind of
look
looks
up. I'll tell
very
you.
Alex Rossi, but
Oh,
he would never put out
no.
something like this, though.
Ariel Colon, Cologne. Ariel Cologne.
I think there's too
So
much going on. I think that's my
I
issue
just
with
I
it.
don't I th I think that like I think just Sinestro looks so bad that
He's got
everybody else just
wrinkles on
looks
his
bad because of him.
forehead.
I know he looks like a nutsack. Like it's crazy.
It's
Like
Freddy
a
Krueger instead of
right.
Sinestro.
Right. There you
But
go.
I like the other, like, I like
Yeah,
the
everybody
grip.
else looks fine.
Everybody else looks good.
Sinestro
Like,
looks so bad. It's rough.
yeah. Like,
Anyway.
Alan Green Lantern there, he looks sexy as hell. Right. You know, that's. I've never seen his abs out in his golden suit there, goldenade suit. So it's a shame. Maybe they didn't like Sinestro, so they made him purposely
Oh,
ugly.
maybe. He's
So
the purple monster.
yeah.
Anyway. So this book starts with Hal in imprisoned by Task Force Z and Amanda Waller, which is a tie-in to Absolute Power, which I am not reading. Well, I bought it, I just haven't read it yet. So this ties into it a lot. But basically, like King Shark is just fucking with Hal the whole time, and she really wants his power ring, and he's like, just basically torture him until you get what you need. And while that's going, Jessica Cruz meets with Sarek or Salak and some of the other lanterns, and they're saying, oh, well, Joe and Baz have been imprisoned. We got a lot, get you know, break them out of the science cells. And they're like, I don't know, like the spectrum's going nuts. And there's this really great full page Kyle Rayner, like in the corner, like with colors at like just kind of prismatically, or like his outfit just keeps changing into the prism. It's really cool. Because he's in tune with everything, but he's like losing his mind because the emotional spectrum's all over the place. Then you see Sinestro, and he's like, no, I got to go exact my revenge on these guys. Then there's like a Alan Scott scene with like his kids and Hawkman, where they're trying to fight some of the absolute power bad guys, and the JSA's there. And these guys basically can suck in their powers, and Alan, because he is the guardian of the Starheart, which is the original Green Lantern, he actually is so powerful that he can pull the Green Lantern energy back out of the dude who stole it from him. Yeah, it was actually kind of cool. So that was kind of cool, but it's crazy because he's kind of old. Like, he's like old and has a beard, and he's like, oh man, I've been fighting these guys since before these guys were even born. And then there is a couple other people from like Absolute Power and then the emotional spectrum that goes around. Cuts back to Hal. He headbutts King Shark. King Shark falls, and he pulls himself out of the imprisonment and puts King Shark in it, which is hilarious. And as he's running around and trying to leave, he realizes that Task Force Z has a ton of like weapons and things that he can use. And he's like, dude, I just hit the jackpot. This is awesome. And that's where it's going to continue on. I've really enjoyed this book the whole time. I think it's great to see Hal and Carol back together. I think it's cool that they're tying in Alan. I love Sinestro as a Red Lantern. I give this book Green Eggs and Ham because, yeah, you have to. But it's so good. I love it. I love it. So make sure you guys check it out. All right.
All right, we got Hulk Blood Hunt. It's a one shot only with the obviously Blood Hunt tie-in. The book starts off as a flashback to 50 years ago. You see two older guys just going about their day, and they run into a young boy who is scared out of his mind, covered in blood, and he's saying in Spanish that his family is all dead. And the then we get flash to current day. We see Bruce Banner walking into an old village, which is it actually is an old Hollywood village stage set, where he meets a fellow named Miguel, and Miguel tells this regales Bruce with the stories of what movies were shot here, who was here, this, that, and the other. And then he gets more serious when Bruce asks, well, why are you the only one here? And Miguel tells the story of how he got into the US, how his family was killed by underground vamps, and how his mother saved him to get away. And Bruce is like, well, what happened to the vampires? He's like, Miguel steps back, and it is a trap. You see the vampires grab Bruce, drag him down, and I think it's Miguel's mother. Her body is so deteriorated, it's hard to tell that she's a female, but she's speaking in Spanish. So she slashes Banner across the chest, and you think he's going to die. Well, Hulk is like, no, I can't let you die. So he hulks out. Hulk just totally obliterates these vampires because these are the most sickly looking vampires you've ever seen. So he basically destroys them all, just kind of destroying the set town and everything. The head vampire, who's Miguel's mom, is like, I just wanted my son to live a happy life. Did he live a happy life? And Hulk's like, how should I know? And just finishes her off, and she leaves behind a necklace that Miguel recognizes and holds, and he's crying into it as that is the end of the book. Very typical Hulk book, like lots of action, lots of tragedy. It was okay. I'm gonna give this, like, give me a Western omelet since it's Arizona Western based.
There you go.
But just the Western omelet with apple juice, which is funny because in the book, Miguel was drinking apple juice out of a bourbon container because that's what they used in Hollywood to make it look like there was bourbon being poured. They used apple juice. And that is an actual thing that they did in Hollywood, which is kind of a cool little nugget of trivia there for you guys. So, that was kind of cool. So I'll put that in my breakfast. If you like a good Hulk one shot, this is pretty good.
That's
You
good.
know, again, quickie tie into Blood Hunt, sort of, kind of, because it has something to do with vampires. So,
Nice.
but apparently these vampires were around for 50 years. So, Lord knows.
Right. All right. My last book is Sinister Sons, number 6. This actually wraps up the entire story arc. So the entire story, we're waiting for Korg to see if Sinestro's his dad. So he's now changed his name to Sinson, Sinson, because he thinks he's Sinestro's son. And he actually like goes up to him and he's like, oh, I gotta ask you something. Sinister's like, get on with it, boy. And so he finally does. He yells at him, and he starts shooting his little thing to try to get a dart in him. And Sinestro just like blocks them all off with his Red Lantern powers. And he's like, what the fuck, dude? So they get to the point where Sinestro's just like, fine, here's my blood. Like, just like, I don't give a shit. And you're beyond the point where it'll matter if I'm your dad or not. Like, you didn't grow up with a dad, you made yourself your own poor person, whatever. And he kind of like pushes his buttons and pushes Val Zod's buttons, and they have a fight when he's like, oh yeah, there we go, now we're good. So Sinson has now become a full yellow and Red Lantern. Like, he goes Red Lantern and spits like fucking acid blood on or toward Val. But he's also like spreading fear, so Sinestro's like, yes, let the fear flow through you. It's very good.
Sounds very Star Wars.
And at the end, yeah, it is. It's very like Vader trying to get Luke to turn to the dark side, but if Luke actually did it, like, that's really like what happened here. It kind of wraps up where Sinestro makes them the head of the security for the new Korgon, or Korgon planet, and that's where the arc ends. Like, we're just gonna see them be those kids that are now the head of the security on the planet, and yeah, it's kind of cool. It was a fun little ride. I wish it would have fleshed out a little bit more, but it did end up on a pretty good high note. The landing was stuck pretty well. So I'm giving this fried eggs, but when you cut into it, there's still some blood. Some toast and a glass of strawberry milk, if you can find that.
Nice.
Because of Red Lanterns, and that's why. But it was very good. I enjoyed it. Definitely check it out.
Right, we got Wolverine number 3 of his Blood Hunt series. We last left off with Wolverine and Nightguard fighting the Aqua Vamps here. And you're pretty much just seeing them, like, slice and dice these vamps. Except the one, he tried to get up on Wolverine. Wolverine stuck him, and then he took a flare gun, jammed it in his mouth, and just popped it. So
Nice.
he's just burst into flame. Well, when he did that, the body ended up going into the boat's engine room and blew up the boat. So they had to swim. They're fighting these aqua monsters as they're swimming. They reach an underground cave, which happens to be where Maverick and this Alyssa are like their compound or whatever you want to call it. And there's a lot of back and forth between Maverick and Wolverine. And then he's like, well, I'm coming after you. And he's like, you in what army? And here comes what they call the Claw Sect. And it's basically ninja vampires. Of course, they're slicing
Neat.
and dicing them up. Finally, after they're getting away, getting some time, Wolverine stabs himself with the Muramasa blade. And he's like, quickly bite me. He tells Night Guard to bite him and convert him into a vampire. So Wolverine becomes a vampire in this. So he's going around and
Great.
yeah. So this is actually canon now. This isn't what if Wolverine becomes Lord of the Vampires. This has now become a canon thing, guys. And you see Vamp Wolvie just kind of, he's even deadlier now because now he has all the powers of a vampire with the strength and his claws. So he's just slicing all these ninja vampires and every enemy he sees. But Maverick and Alyssa confront him. Like Maverick puts a few bullets in him, and with Wolvie's healing factor not working, he's actually bleeding. So, but Alyssa's like, I'm looking for a king, and that is the way they leave off this book. So we may see what happens in the next issue of possibly Wolverine trying to become a king of the vampires or lord of the vampires. I kind of hope not. I think that's kind of the what if was enough with the Wolverine as a vampire.
Really?
But you know, it again, this was a fun Wolverine book. Again, it's fun to see the slicing and dicing, and you know, and not a lot to think here. So, you know, we're gonna go with some steak and eggs classic. And we'll stick with the good old whiskey for Wolverine.
There you go.
Yeah,
Irish coffee. There you
there we go. I don't
go.
think he's ever had that. I only see him drinking whiskey most of the time, whiskey or beer. There's
Right.
never anything in between.
I've seen him have coffee before. It's been,
Yeah, but I don't know Irish coffee though.
a little whiskey in the coffee, you're fine. It's all
Yeah.
good. The Irish cream. So, all right. Now we're going to talk about Acolyte. So if you're not caught up, you need to get the fuck out. And we'll talk to you the next time. Those of you who are sticking on, this will be kind of brief because it wasn't like
Yeah.
a crazy big episode, but
No.
so in this episode we basically got to see the third episode from the other side, like from the Jedi side.
Yeah.
So all the people that complained about the witches and stuff, whatever. Like this kind of fleshed them out a lot better and made
Yeah.
them a little bit more of a menace, a little more of a bad guy. You find out that the kids are somehow manufactured, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I think we're still gonna find out how and what that means,
Yeah.
but it almost feels like, they were designed to be one actual dark version and one actual light version. Kind of so twinning like the Skywalker kids, but not in the role of where one's good, one's bad, like these guys are. Like the Skywalkers were both fairly good. But I thought it was cool, like you got to see like the Wookiee Jedi get possessed and like just fucking kill everybody. I was like, holy shit, this is amazeballs. I don't know why
Well,
people are complaining about
you
this.
saw him beat the living crap out of his fellow Jedi, what you saw. He took that Padawan. You're like, how'd that Padawan get all the scars? Like, well, you got to see that part.
I just thought it was, I thought it added to the story and it fleshed out kind of a lot more of like why they're pissed off at each other. Like obviously, had Sol not gotten in and done anything, this would have been a completely different story. But he interfered, then May lit the place on fire, and like the witches were are legitimately like Sith witches. I love that they also said like they are not the sisters. They are not why can't I remember what they're actually called? It's some sisters of whatever. But anyway.
They are not that.
But I thought it was cool, like when the one turned into like almost completely turned into just like dust or smoke. Like they're like vampires. It's almost like they're vampires, right?
You feel
I thought it
bad
was
for
good.
the mother, though. She,
Well, the fact that she was still gonna let Osha go, I thought was cool. But
But that other one was
yeah.
basically the Karen of the witches ruined the whole thing and started a lot of shit where she shouldn't have. And
Yes.
that definitely did not help the situation. That poured gasoline on the
A
literal
hundred
fire.
hundred per 100% agree, 100% agree.
But it
So
seemed like there were misinterpretations on both sides of the Jedi side and the witch's side, that resulted in a very tragic event. So, it sucks. Again, this feels like one of those, some of this blame is on the Jedi, but this all could have been worked out if they would have just communicated and not been so standoffish.
Agreed. Agreed.
So
And I thought it was cool that they actually did think that the planet was in uninhabitable and
uninhabitable.
uninhabited, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh shit, there's people here.
Well, they said that was supposed to be supposedly a dead planet. That's why when they were there in the first place is because trees, plants, none of that was
Life.
supposed to be there. Nothing was supposed to be there. And they said there was something was causing life happening. And that's why they're talking about the convergence or whatever it is, which is basically what Luke and Leia are down the line. I feel like this is like the precursor. This was the first time this happened, I think. And it obviously it's a gigantic failure because it resulted in a not so pleasant situations going on, where the second version of this that happened turned out to be far better, like as far as the good side or what, better for the entire universe as far as that goes. I still want to see. Like, how many episodes is left? Is there one more left or is there two more left?
Maybe two, I think.
Okay. I kind of want to see what else flushes out. I want to see if the Jedi try to cover this up, especially the headmaster there. She seems super suspicious. Like there's a very ominous foreshadowing of things. So I want to see what happens with that. I want to see if the twins basically switch places, or do they both learn and maybe run away, or
I think they're both going to end up killing each other because then they, because like there's no future of them down the line. I mean, there might be, but I doubt it.
Yeah,
So,
but you never know.
so.
You don't know what the whole gist of this lore is, because we're in unknown territory. So,
True. I guess we'll see.
yep.
I'm excited about it though. So I've been having a good
Yeah.
time. So, all right. Well, this will be a, it's a quick week. So, you
Yeah.
guys have fun. You guys be safe this weekend. Hope you had a good fourth. And we will we'll see you around. Make sure you buy some books at your local shop. If it's us, even better.
Yep.
But support your local shop. That's very important. So, all right. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks a lot.